This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Friday, March 5th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Ela Family Farms this week shared on their website what many farms in the North Fork Valley are experiencing. Devastating fruit tree losses are becoming evident due to the hard freeze in October. After above seasonal temperatures, they bottomed out at 3 degrees. Ela Family Farm reports 3 acres of mature cherry trees are completely dead, and 4 acres of 1 and 2 year old peach trees are dead or severely injured. Surviving are their older peach trees, plum, pear, and apple trees. The buds on those may or may not be viable. The Ela family's observations are a harbinger of what will likely be a thin harvest across the region. The Montrose City Council on Tuesday approved funding for a new police station. The $16.2 million project is close to breaking ground, located next to the current station on South First Street. Funding comes from a voter-approved measure that increased city sales tax by 0.58% to create a public safety fund. Revenues will also be used for equipment, training, and additional staff. Once the building is paid for, part of the public safety sales tax will sunset, dropping the rate to 0.44%. The city council vote on Tuesday included trimming the project by about $1.4 million to stay within budget. The Ridgeway School District has declined to donate its ball field for the third phase of an affordable housing project. The Telluride Foundation is building 50 to 60 affordable homes for purchase in Nucla, Norwood, and Ridgeway. The Ouray County Plain Dealer reports the decision to turn down the foundation's request was made in private one-on-one conversations between board members, not in a public meeting, to expedite the decision. The district, however, reportedly received many letters, calls, and comments urging them not to donate the field, with residents citing its value for outdoor learning and community use. Land has already been secured for the building sites in Norwood and Nucla. The third site hangs in the balance. 75% of Colorado school staffers have now been vaccinated against the coronavirus. An estimated 120,000 school staff and childcare workers are employed in Colorado at the K-12 levels, and over 93,000 of them have received their first shot. Chalkbeat Colorado reports eligible workers include not just classroom teachers, but bus drivers, food service workers, and classroom aides. Some districts and county health departments organized mass vaccination events for school staff. Other districts signed up employees with providers like Kaiser Permanente and Centura. Vaccines are not mandatory. And the U.S. Forest Service is accepting public comments on pine beetle management in area forests. In a press release, the Forest Service unveiled a new interactive map that displays upcoming treatments in the Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests. The public can get more information by emailing nicole.hutt@usda.gov. It's very likely that restaurants will be able to keep delivering alcoholic beverages to Coloradans after the pandemic is over. Our Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
A bill earning bipartisan support at the state capitol would also let restaurants continue offering alcohol with takeout orders. Governor Jared Polis initially relaxed liquor laws to give restaurants a boost when dining rooms had to close. The proposal would keep takeout booze orders flowing for at least 5 more years. Some liquor stores oppose the measure, citing safety concerns. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
A U.S. Senate committee vote Thursday brought Deb Haaland one step closer to becoming the nation's next Interior Secretary. If she's confirmed, she'll face a myriad of challenges, including whether to move the Bureau of Land Management headquarters from Colorado back to Washington, D.C. The Mountain West News Bureau's Nate Hedgie reports.
As a New Mexico Democratic Congresswoman, Haaland was against the move to Grand Junction, Colorado. She said many tribes had concerns, and it resulted in nearly 90% of D.C.-based employees quitting an agency that oversees vast tracts of public lands in our region. But during her confirmation hearing last week, Haaland struck a more considered tone.
I don't have any intention at this moment of changing things, but I am not there yet. If I'm confirmed, that'll be an important issue to look at.
Most Republicans in the West, as well as top Democratic leaders in Colorado, want the headquarters to stay in Grand Junction. They argue it makes more sense to have federal employees closer to the western public lands they manage. But former employees and environmental advocacy groups say the move was a ploy to gut the BLM and to reduce its power. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife is partnering with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers and also the Western Slope Conservation Center to get rid of some high fencing in the North Fork Valley. High fences can be a hazard to deer and elk and also to drivers as they push wildlife onto the highway. Kate Redmond spoke with District Wildlife Manager Andrew Taylor to learn more.
The North Fork Valley has a lot of elk fencing up to protect fields and orchards. I understand that some of these fences are now coming down.
Correct. We're in the process of trying to figure out which fences are no longer under agreement or need protection from a producing orchard or vineyard.
When an orchard goes defunct or a field goes fallow, there's no need to protect it anymore. And so are these fences interrupting elk migration patterns?
Absolutely. I mean, it just continues to grow on the number of acreage that has high fence on it and is disrupting the migration of elk and deer.
Do they get confused? Like they're trying to get to the river and they get diverted? Do they try sometimes to go over the 12-foot fence?
There's a lot of times where I find the deer hung up in either inside the high fence or hung up on the fence itself.
And what can property owners do to help with the migration of deer and elk through their property?
Well, if you have an existing high fence, you no longer need the protection. I would definitely take it down or at least lower it to where they can get over it.
When people think about putting up a high fence, whether it's to protect their orchard or vineyards, or some people I'm seeing it just put up themselves to protect landscaping or just grass, think about that you're limiting more and more elk and deer winter range. We have a limited amount of elk and deer winter range. A lot of people think that deer or elk can just scoot over and move on to the next, and that's just simply not the case. There's going to be a time where they can't scoot over. We're just going to have less elk and less deer.
The reason that I started with this story is that there's a fence that belongs to Bowie that is disrupting a herd that comes down off Garvin Mesa to Blackbridge to drink at the river there. A property owner down there who used to view them freely coming down to the river has now been seeing them getting hung up in the fence, getting hit on the highway. Talk to me about that fence.
That fence that's on the Bowie property, that's a security fence for the old Bowie loadout. And they have to have it there for security reasons, is my understanding. The problem with it is it connects to other high fence orchard fencing, and those elk and deer do get caught on the highway right there. It's kind of a little alleyway that develops because there's just high fence on both sides of the highway in there.
How much fencing is the DPW looking at removing this season from defunct orchards and fields?
The one that we have that we're going to be doing on March 26 is our first time to take one down. It's not necessarily CPW doing it. We're in a group, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers and West Slope Conservation Center. We're all kind of partnering together just to open up more habitat.
If you would like to join the three organizations working on March 26th to remove high fencing, you can find more information on this hands-on volunteer opportunity at westernslopeconservation.org. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Special thanks to reporter Kate Redmond, and thank you for supporting local, independent public media.